Hey friend, welcome to Pursuing Goals God's Way. Have you thought about finally starting that business now that your kids are older? Do you ever stay awake wondering how to mesh your passions into purposeful work? Do you have big, ambitious goals but feel overwhelmed or even unqualified to pursue them? Hey, I'm Gabe. Not too long ago, I longed for the confidence to start an online business. I just wanted to make a difference outside my home bubble using my gifts. But I kept telling myself that I wasn't good enough, I didn't know enough, and I didn't have enough time. Until I realized something huge. My kids need me to be their example, and they need to see me win. And yours do too. In this podcast, you will learn how to clarify your goals, plan with purpose, and ditch your distractions. If you're ready to make an impact and an income, all for the glory of God, then you're in the right place. As an avid runner, I believe life is one massive marathon. It's up to you to run your own race and to finish it well. So lace up those running shoes, pop in your earbuds, and let's do this thing. Hey friend, welcome to Pursuing Goals God's Way. I am excited for today's episode. We're doing another mini Devo in Nehemiah, and we're going to be talking about four ways to help others handle opposition and discouragement. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I can discourage myself and I can have opposition by myself just because things are just so hard and I just want to give up and quit on myself. And sometimes it comes in the form of other things getting in the way, and it's really giving me that pressure of feeling discouraged and feeling the opposition and feeling like I want to give up. Well, in Nehemiah 5, we notice that the Jews become discouraged once again and are struggling to build the wall of Jerusalem. They know that the wall is for their own good and protection, but they're struggling to make means meet in the meantime. They're mortgaging their fields and even selling their kids to slavery to pay the debts they owed. The poor were being oppressed and charged exorbitant amounts of interest, which was, mind you, forbidden by the law at that time. And this led to more discouragement for the Jews, and many were ready to give up. It was almost like an is it worth it moment. So what did Nehemiah do? Well, his first response was anger. Nehemiah 5:6 says, "I was very angry when I heard their outcry and these words. I took counsel with myself and I brought charges against the nobles and officials." So first, he spoke truth. He brought to light what was going on. And you know what? Sometimes it's hard to speak truth in a culture of conformity and confusion, isn't it? I can feel that. I can feel the weight and the pressure of conforming and just saying what people want instead of speaking the truth. Well, then in verse 10, he admits to his own involvement in the situation. He says, "Moreover, I and my brothers and my servants are lending them money and grain. Let us abandon this exacting of interest." Now, Nehemiah was a wealthy man back then. We don't really know how much he may have been involved in that, but here's what we do know. Number two, he took responsibility. In both cases, now and then, back when he heard of the sins of the people in chapter 1, he took ownership of his own shortcomings as well. He acknowledged it for himself. Now here, he is angered at fellow officials and leaders, but he doesn't stray from owning anything he may have also done. Now, this is a lost art these days. Here's an example. Now, this is kind of a funny example, but when I was out of town just a little bit back, probably about a month ago, I was in a restaurant with a friend. She had come and met me there because it was only a couple hours away from where she lived, which was so exciting because she's one of my besties. I talk to her every week. And we were at this brewery because we thought it would be fast. We could get some burgers and then we could go to the gymnastics meet that we were attending. And at first, it was totally fine. Things were a little bit slow. Our server was a bit slow getting to us. And then it wasn't even that busy then. But all of a sudden, it started getting busier and busier. And we're noticing, like, it's taking a long time for our food. And she came back and was like, "Oh, well, there's only one or two cooks on," or something like that. And she, like, laid the responsibility on the cooks and said, "It'll be out shortly." Well, in the same time, we're seeing other people get their food and people who had gotten there way later than we did. And so it was just really interesting. And then she came back and said, "Oh, there's a lot of new servers on today. And so things are just getting a little bit backed up." And then she had said someone bumped our food or something like that. And now, mind you, I have been in the restaurant business. I started as a host, went all the way to restaurant management. I've been in the business. I was there for 8 years. So I know the behind the scenes. I actually could see things and I never saw our food come up. But either way, it doesn't matter. the point of this is that she never once owned her own responsibility in it. She kept blaming other people. Oh, it was the cook's fault. Oh, it was these new servers' fault. We don't really care. All we care about is that we get our food at some point, right? And at first it was not a big deal because we just wanted to talk anyway. We didn't want to be kicked out fast or like rushed in our meal, right? But then at this point, we're like, oh, we kind of have to go. It's been over an hour and we need to get to the event because we want to see the whole thing. Anyway, long story short, we got our food. She couldn't remember what our sides were. My food was wrong. So it was just like, can you just own it? Because that's one thing that when I was in the restaurant, I just owned it. Like, just go tell them, I'm so sorry. I forgot to put your order in or whatever it was. Like, they cared more that I owned up to it and took responsibility and that I apologized for it and all the things. Like, they just cared that I kept them in the loop. And that's all I care about too. And people really just appreciate when we take responsibility and own up to things. So that's kind of a funny example. And it was all good. I mean, like, I ended up getting two desserts, my meal off. So we essentially paid for one meal and got two meals and two desserts. So whatever, it's fine. We had a lot of grace. We were really nice about it. Just kind of a funny story, but that's what Nehemiah did. He took responsibility, and I'm guessing that he wasn't a huge player in the issues. He wasn't really oppressing the poor and he wasn't really oppressing the Jews. He was busy building the wall as well, but he did own up to the part that he did play a part in, right? So finally, number three, here's what he does. He makes things right. After taking responsibility, he then tells the leaders and officials what they're going to do about it. In verse 11, he says, return to them this very day their fields, their vineyards, their olive orchards, and their houses, and the percentage of money, grain, wine, and oil that you have been extracting from them. He wants to make things right. And on top of making things right, he seeks justice. He reminds them that there are blessings for obedience and consequences for disobedience. Micah 6:8 says, what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? We are to love mercy and we are to seek to be faithful. Now, in this example, having money is not a sin. And if you have a lot of it, you can do a lot of good things, right? But it's when money becomes an idol, when you want more of it or dwell on it, that it becomes a sin. Anything can become an idol in our lives. The officials and wealthy in chapter 5 of Nehemiah became obsessed with it to the point of exploiting and manipulating others, which was not right. So what did Nehemiah do with his wealth? Well, he gave to the people. He served them. Verse 14b says that when he was appointed governor of Judah, he said, neither I nor my brothers ate the food allowance of the governor. Back in that day, when you were appointed an official or whatever, you got these extra bonuses, right? Well, instead of that, he helped the people. He actually entertained like 150 in his home each day with plenty of food. Nehemiah gave, he served. And number four, Nehemiah teaches us to use our wealth to bless others. That's what he's doing here. He teaches us that we can further God's kingdom with our wealth. This could be monetary, yes, but could also be with a wealth of love. Maybe it's seeking justice for those who can't do it for themselves. Or maybe it's being giving of our time. Our wealth comes in all different shapes and sizes, but it's what we do with it that matters. Do we build others up with it? Or do we act like the officials who exploited and manipulated those with less? So what can we learn from Nehemiah chapter 5? When you're feeling opposition coming from what you believe are your own inadequacies or discouragements because things aren't happening as quickly as you hoped they would, remember that God's plans are right and good. We may not understand them fully, but we need to lean into that truth. So as a review, here are four ways that we can help others handle opposition when it comes or discouragement. First, we speak truth. Second, we take responsibility if there's anything we need to own. Third, we make things right and seek justice. And fourth, we use our wealth to bless others. This week, I challenge you to read Nehemiah chapter 5 and listen for what God is calling you to do today. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray right now for those who are feeling discouraged, who feel that there's so much opposition, whether that opposition is coming from themselves or it's coming from others, but it's discouragement and leading them to want to give up on the calling that they feel has been placed on their heart. Lord, I pray that you'll give them encouragement, that there will be somebody who comes along who can speak truth, who can help take responsibility, who can seek justice and who can bless them. Lord, I know that you place people into our lives for a reason. And I pray that if they're in that opposition right now, that there is someone placed in their life to help them, to confirm that they are on the right track, to bless them. But also, if they are in the realm of being able to be a blessing for others, that they will come around and surround those who are feeling the opposition, who are feeling discouraged, and help encourage them and help give of their time and of their love and help seek justice for them. Lord, we are called to community. We are called to help each other, to bless each other. And I pray that we'll just be discerning and we'll see the needs of others and we will meet those needs. And we know that above all else, you meet our needs and you are the most loving. You are seeking justice in everything. And we praise you for that. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, friend, in all things I pray, you just run your race. I believe in you. Thank you so much for joining me today. I had a great time and I hope you did too. Before we go though, make sure you follow the podcast on your favorite listening platform if you haven't already. If you resonate with this episode, please consider leaving a review on iTunes or share it with a friend as this helps grow the podcast. Also, if you're not a part of Simplicity and Motherhood, consider joining us. It's a free online community built to provide support and encouragement so you can create balance and live intentionally as you go after your biggest goals, God's way. Head on over to redhotmindset.com for more resources and to find the link to join the community. In all things I pray, you just run your race. I believe in you.